Warning. Listening to this show may result in increased levels of inspiration, motivation, and innovation. Side effects can include the immediate urge to take massive action to build a better business and life for yourself and others. You've been warned. Welcome to Influencers Radio with your host, Jack Mize.
And welcome back to another episode of Influencers Radio. Today, my guest is Delisha Coppersmith. She is an executive coach and diversity speaker, and her personal mission is to restore the women who can change our world. She specializes in dissolving unconscious resistance to women's leadership and elevating those who build inclusive organizations and vibrant communities, helping high-achieving women overcome what she calls the hero-to-villain cycle so they can build the life and love they deserve. Delisha, welcome to Influencers Radio.
Thank you so much, Jack. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here too, because this is something that, you know, I think a lot of people think about it, but you've really been able to put some easy to understand language around this. And I think it really helps people with different perspectives understand what a lot of women, successful women, are experiencing. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to kick this off by asking you if you can dig into that hero to villain cycle and what that looks like and how it impacts the women that you work with.
All right. I would love to. And I usually, you know, ask people to think of the women at work that they love to hate, because all of us have worked with someone that, you know, a woman who was very strong, outspoken, not necessarily, you know, doing anything wrong, because I'll tell you, Jack, I don't excuse or condone any bad behavior. You know, if a woman is behaving like a jerk, she's behaving like a jerk. So, and those are not the women I'm talking about. I'm talking about the women who have worked very hard to soften for others, to deliver their message the right way, and it never seems to be enough. And so that hero to villain cycle goes something like this. Let's say the bosses have a big project or they need to put a team together, and it's not going to be an easy road for this team or for this leader. Well, a lot of times they'll look to one of these strong women who can both get the technical work done or the business objective accomplished, but can also build a team and understand the unique strengths on the team. And so they'll put one of us in charge of something, knowing that we're going to power through, we're going to get it done. And so we end up being the hero for getting it done. But then over time, if one of these women has, I don't want to say been in the spotlight too long, but achieved maybe just one thing too many for some people's taste, then they become the villain. And that's where the personality criticism starts. And I'll tell you, there's one statistic. I mean, I've read a whole bunch of them, you know, about women in leadership. And there's one that Textio, some research that Textio did, and they found that high achieving women were 38 times more likely than their male counterparts to receive personality criticism in their performance reviews. So wow. The achievement is high. You know, the business results are the same as their male counterparts, but the women receive personality criticism and the men receive praise, you know, for the same behaviors oftentimes. And so this is what I'm talking about. You know, these women are relied upon and then they're vilified. So I hope that explains it a little bit more.
It does. And I think anybody who's honest with themselves can think of an example. You know, if they've worked in any type of, you know, corporate work environment or anything like that, that if you get out the old proverbial man to woman dictionary, that strong and firm has a much different word attached to it when it comes to women. And often, when, you know, when you hear that term, high-achieving women, you know, strong women, sometimes it's almost phrased as if it's a disease, right? they caught it, you know?
It's a personality disease. People.
It is. And why do you think that is, that, you know, a man, you know, in that leadership position can be seen as, you know, firm but fair or strong leadership, but, you know, a woman may be, you know, kind of a pushy. Who does she think she is? What do you think is kind of what still drives that in this day and age?
I'm glad you asked. I have a theory. So, you know, we've heard and we've read about this dynamic for a long time. So this isn't like a new discovery, but we haven't cracked the code on it. That's the problem. And so here's my theory, if I may offer it. I call it maternal triangulation. And yes, we might be in the workplace or in the community, but we, you know, our societal expectations of women carry over. And so when you think about the first woman that you resisted when she tried to lead you, who was it?
The mother.
Exactly. And sometimes, and I'm not saying that this happens in every family, because, you know, some people grew up without a mother. And so society will fill in the blanks there, though. So even if you grew up without a mother in the home, you know, our culture will inform you of, you know, what women are all about and what women's leadership is all about, from the time you're watching cartoons to, you know, kids shows and everything. So if you think about the dinner table, you might have, you know, mom asking about homework, you know, making sure you use your napkin and your fork and knife and all of those things. And just slowly over time, it's natural. Kids, all genders, this isn't just something that boys do. All genders start to just resist that. We don't want to be told to, you know, have manners or be held accountable for homework, et cetera. Now, we'll accept that from dad much more easily, which is interesting. So we're not going to get into all the psychology of why that is, but it's just sort of a dynamic that plays out. And sometimes the kids will joke around with dad about the mom being a nag. And nobody's meaning to create anything here, but it does create something. It creates something that we take into the workplace, which is female authority figures are nags, or they're overbearing, or they're pushy. There's something to be avoided. And so it's just the craziest thing. So men and women both do this. This is not something that's against the men. I can tell you times when I know I was doing this, resisting a woman's leadership. And so this is my theory anyway, is that we can pull it, you know, the string all the way back to the dinner table to figure out, how did this start? Why is it this way for strong women in the workplace? And like I said, I'm not excusing any behavior that is inappropriate or overbearing. But just, you know, the ability to actually lead, because I like to say people want us to lead as long as we don't look or sound like we're leading.
Yeah. Well, that's a trick. Huh?
That's a tightrope. Yeah. That's a tightrope. So the women that I coach, often they'll come to me in frustration. They're ready to walk out of their job, like done with it. You know, they know they're going to be successful in another job. They really don't need to put up with this. But there's something nagging at them, because, you know, when you leave, if you leave on a bad note, or even if nobody's realizing it's a bad note for you, that situation, that fatigue of being, you know, resented or, you know, triangulated against, that wears on you. And so most of these women are very logically minded. They'll literally, Jack, they will lose sleep over this. Just night after night ruminating, because it doesn't make sense. They're not treating anybody poorly, but yet slowly, you know, their stock has gone down, even though they're still getting work heaped on them. And that's a hard thing, because, you know, they can pull their organizations along, but it sure would be nice to have some support, you know, consistently.
Yeah, well, it definitely, I mean, I can see the frustration, because it's definitely not a logical dilemma. You know, it's driven by emotion. And like you said, you know, people's background, the way that they grew up with these perceptions. And you bring up an interesting point, because, you know, I've spoken to a lot of coaches and women's coaches who are, they kind of focus on helping women get to the point that the people you work with are, right? To get to that point of leadership, to get to that point of success, to be firmer, to be more confident. But the women that you have, you know, they're already classified as confident, strong, qualified leaders. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that, well, if that's what they are, it seems like, you know, they have that built-in gene that, you know, I'm going to bite the bullet and plow through this. But yet it seems like they do seek someone to help. And I imagine your breath of fresh air when they find you, that there is someone that understands their situation and that can, it's not about somebody, you know, whining that I can't move up. It's like they're there, but now they're dealing with this whole new set of problems, right?
Yeah, often they are there, or they're just right under that top position. Okay, so that, you know, they're the strong second. They're the one that people bring in, and sometimes they'll under-resource them because, you know, they know they'll get it done. Oh, she'll get it done. She'll handle it. So that strong second. But then when it comes time to look at successors, you know, for that top job, they'll say, oh, well, she needs to soften her approach a bit, you know, and she'll be passed over. And so if they're not at the top, they're near the top and just can't seem to break through. And the ones who do get to the top of an organization, whether it's, let's say, a vice president type of role or in the government, a senior executive role, there's that thing called the glass cliff. And there have been, you know, lots of articles written and a great TED talk on that I heard. And that is that she may get to the top, they're relying on her, and they send her out there, but then people just sort of don't put their full effort in. They don't get the same support as if it was a man in that role. And Jack, I experienced this, I mean, from one of my first leadership positions way back in the military, because I have a lot of years of military experience. And it was really interesting that I would put, you know, 110%, as we say, into helping somebody else succeed when it was my turn. This is a specific school that I was, a leadership school that I was in. When it was my turn, it was interesting how people just kind of sat back and, you know, they weren't doing those implicit tasks, you know, those things that we all knew needed to get done. They waited to be told. And that made the burden on me incredibly heavy. So that was, you know, a long time ago. And I thought, surely that's not happening anymore. You know, we are way past, you know, 2020. So let's see what's happening now. And one of the reasons that inspired me to really specialize in this, because I've been coaching women like this for 25 years, but I've decided to specialize part of my practice in this because my daughter, who's now 30, has experienced the same things.
Wow.
So sure, we may have a woman as vice president. And I just heard or I read yesterday that 10% of Fortune 500 CEOs are women now, which I was like, that's great. And then I thought, 10%? Is that great? I'm not so sure it is.
I guess relatively. But, you know,
right, relatively. And so, you know, to keep this lighthearted, because I don't like to walk around with victim mentality. It's just not in my DNA. And most of the women I work with, they don't want to consider themselves a victim of anything. We're just trying to figure out what's going on and what we should do about it. And so, I joke around and say people, all of us, when we're born, we get a bag of problems. You know, everybody gets their bag, right? Everybody gets their bag of problems, whether it's, the Buddhists say, you know, you have karma to work out while you're here. So whatever you consider it to be, we all get this interesting challenge. And it has to do with, you know, our patterns or our personality, different things like that. And this just happens to be ours. We're going to get things done. You know, we're going to be relied upon wherever we work. But our challenge is going to be this interpersonal dynamic. And so I help women to figure out what it is, you know, help them understand maternal triangulation, help them spot paternal approval seeking when it's happening around them for their own good as well as other women. And that's a different dynamic. I won't talk about that one. And then we talk about something called the inner teenager at work, because the inner teenager is really powerful and we all have one. And that's what shows up on the scene when a strong woman, has maybe gotten too much attention or had too much success for other people's taste, and maybe a little bit of jealousy pops up, that inner teenager is on fire, Jack. And so yeah. I help women understand how to tackle this and how to turn around their relationships and their reputation at work. Because most of them say, there's this next big goal that I have. There's something else I want to achieve. You know, I don't want to go out without having done that, but I know I need people's support. You know, and that's, and I love that. I love when they have something specific in mind that they want to accomplish. And, you know, being able to do that, sometimes they decide they don't want to leave. So I ask them to just give it, you know, 6 months or a year, and we will turn things around, and then they can see how they feel. But if they still choose to leave their organization, they're not leaving, you know, with this unresolved stuff going on. And they've learned a skill that they can take forward into any other role, because they've figured out people's responses to them and how to work better with people to kind of dissolve that resistance.
You know, one of the things that I really admire about what you're doing, and I think it's important to point out that if someone's just taking a shallow view at this topic, they may easily think this is a feminist discussion about feminism, you know, but what you're doing is you don't fight for those typical talking points, because you're not saying that you know, women should have these opportunities because they're women. They should have these opportunities because they're qualified, and that's where they are.
And exactly.
And there's this, but yet they still have this extra set of obstacles to deal with. So how can women go in and you know, be strong and face these and either avoid or circumvent or dispel that, no, this isn't a feminist issue. This is I'm qualified issue.
Well, the quickest way, I think, is to acknowledge that we want, you know, any team or organization to make the best decisions possible, right? To be able to accomplish their objectives, to serve their customers. So we want the right information, the right decisions to be made. And often, you know, when this dynamic starts, people are not listening to some really good information that's in the room that these women are offering. Like maybe they want to make a certain decision about something, or they're asking people to get on board with something. And when you have that resistance, just because it's kind of this under the surface dynamic, it isn't just affecting that woman. It's affecting the organization, and it's affecting the customers. And I think we all would agree that we want our organizations to make the right decisions and to accomplish their mission. So, so it's about the good of the whole, really. You know, we talk about diversity being diversity of thought, actually being able to listen to everyone in the room, to seriously consider all, you know, views presented. And so it's about that. You know, for them, it's also about alleviating some suffering, because, you know, like you said, this is kind of illogical and we don't know what to call it. It's like we're boxing ghosts. So working with these women, I can help them, you know, alleviate that suffering and stop staying up at night over this. But for the organization, it really is about dissolving that resistance so that they can make their contribution. And I don't know if you've read any of the information, like from the Women in the Workplace report, I think the 2022 report, talked about women leaving the organizations that they're in, like in droves. So really talented, natural leaders are walking out. And everybody loses when that happens. Yeah.
Well, surely it seems like, you know, the organizations would feel that and recognize that. And I think that's because it's almost impossible to set up this. Because like I said, you're not fighting for women to be put in positions because they're women. You'd rather there be a blind decision-making process that, you know,
let's
look at the qualifications.
That would be nice.
yeah, it would be. That would be a wonderful solution if it was possible. One thing I want to circle back to you to is, you know, when you talked about how some women are just, they get fed up, you know, they just, you know, it's not worth it to do what they do. What is it, you know, because some people say, well, you know, hey, then get out of there. You know, there's nothing like a fresh start. What do you see as the conflicts there and the issues that women have trouble reconciling when you say there's something nagging at them that keeps them there?
Well, so why not just go ahead and take that fresh start? Well, you certainly can. I mean, sometimes it's, you know, it's time to move on, but not always. You know, just because, you know, it's gotten stressful and you feel under-supported, you know, and you feel like that villain, you know, it's that hero to villain cycle. You may not be done with that job yet. You may still have goals that you want to accomplish that are just within reach, you know. So if you leave, that is kind of unfinished business to you. But also just that dynamic alone, not having solved it, that will cause women to ruminate as well. I work with one woman who, she did leave a job before she started working with me. And she's doing great in her new job. But guess what? She still wanted to work on this because it's going to come back around. It happens in every workplace, every community, and sooner or later, probably in all or most families too. But, you know, so you can leave, but you're still going to feel like you left unfinished business and it's going to come up again.
Well, it's one thing, you know, like I said, that I talked to a lot of coaches that help women, you know, get to that, to try to find that confidence and your ability to come in and help the women that have that confidence, that have that they are strong leaders, but to work around this kind of unique set of problems that they face is, you know, something that I haven't seen a lot of. So I'm curious if you wouldn't mind, talking about what it looks like to work with you. What is it? Is it something that you do one-on-one with women or in groups or how does that work?
Well, both. So I have a virtual retreat where women can go through a 6-week retreat and then we also have group coaching. So that is one way. The other way is the one-on-one coaching. And when I do those 6-week retreats and the group coaching, it's interesting how many people want to work independently with me, because obviously you can get much farther into the details about your situation, the people you're working with, the dynamics with your boss, et cetera. And we can really go after it that way, you know, much more quickly, I would say. So either or, I also, plan to do an in-person retreat in the fall. So that's going to be really fun because we can do a bit more of the spiritual work as well. That's going to be, I'd say, half and half wellness retreat. And then, you know, the coaching on this dynamic with women, that should be in October. So both ways. And I think, you know, if any woman thinks she's talking about me, if any of your listeners, you know who you are. So if you think I'm talking about you, easy enough to just give me a call. Of course, we can have a free discovery call and you can learn a little bit more about what I do.
Well, you know, you said you've been doing this for 25 years. And, you know, one would hope that the situation has evolved over that time. but, you know, when you talked about how your daughter's facing these same issues, you know, what is it that fueled your passion to start doing this and helping the women that you're helping?
Well, you know, like most people, I thought I was the only one that was going through this, you know, through the military experience and then the business experience. I also spent time in the federal sector. And so across industries like that, you know, it just kept happening. So wherever you go, there you are, right? That's what John Kabat-Zinn says. So I thought, all right, you know, I've got to adjust. And over a lot of years, I did, you know, adjusting the way that I come across, the way that I disagree with people. And Jack, I found myself completely contorting myself into a different person. And that wasn't good for anybody because I wasn't then giving my gifts to the organization. You know, we all have gifts. And I had muted mine to the point where I was just kind of in the room. And I'm like, this is crazy. So I don't think that we should be asking women who are natural leaders to completely mute themselves so as not to upset anyone at all. You know, that's unreasonable. So so my passion is in, you know, helping women realize, no, it's not just you. And yes, there is a way to work through this. So so that's, it's literally my favorite work to do now.
Well, you know, it is to me, after 25 years, that you still have this passion and this, you know, drive that you have, because, you know, listening to you speak and, you know, the enthusiasm is infectious, even as a, you know, as a male, right?
Well, good. I hope that it has that effect, because I also, you know, when I talk to groups as a diversity speaker, I'm not targeting men at all, because men and women, all genders do this, and we don't even realize we're doing this. And so it's an all of us kind of dynamic. And, you know, I try to keep it lighthearted, because, you know, being serious about it, or being, I should say, I am serious about it, being too serious about it, or passing blame, or trying, you know, to make women feel like they're victims. Nobody wants that. You know, what we want to do is understand what's happening with our dynamics at work. And is there a way to make it better? Because I believe when people see what I'm talking about, like in their minds, when they go, oh yeah, I've seen that at work, they immediately want to change it. They don't want to do that. We just don't know what to call it. We haven't spent the time to look at it, because, like I said, sometimes they're the women we love to hate at work, because it's easy to point at them and talk about them. So not a whole lot of you know, empathy going on for the strong women at work. And so once people do realize what's going on, they feel pretty bad. Like, yeah, I've definitely done that before. And so I think it's fixable, but we just have to, you know, get into the conversation.
Well, I think if anybody is able to fix it, you would be the one, because I can't emphasize enough that what you're doing is not debating an issue. You are just really genuinely explaining it extremely well, to where it's, you know, from a man's perspective, I'm not looking at it as you're debating or coming up with an argument. You're just very easily allowing me to see it from the perspective of the people that you work with. And, you know, quite frankly, it makes a lot of sense, because I can put myself in those positions and in, you know, workplaces that I've been in the past. And I say, wow, I know exactly what she's talking about.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And so I think it really is remarkable. I do have to bring up that, you're working on a book. You're writing a book, From Fed Up to On Fire: The Strong Women's Guide to a Big Comeback. Can you give us a little bit of a insight into what people can look forward to that, and when you think that'll be coming out?
Sure, I'd love to. So yeah, and that's my working title. So if, you know, whenever, if somebody catches this episode much later and you don't find that title, you find something else. Well, but so far, that is my favorite title that I've come up with for it. And I'm about halfway through it right now. Yeah. So From Fed Up to On Fire: The Strong Woman's Guide to Making a Big Comeback. And so I hope that captures it, that we, you know, the women that I work with are fed up and they're ready to walk, but they can turn it around to where they're back on fire in terms of, you know, accomplishing things and leading the team in a way that really not too many people can. There's something about strong women that can also connect with people that, you know, if others allow us to lead, you know, and stick with that, we can accomplish some really amazing things. And so, you know, the big comeback piece of that is that, yep, things may not be going, may not be going well right now. You may feel like, you know, kind of people are against you a little bit for some reason or another, but it is something that you can turn around. Absolutely. So I believe in the big comeback stories. I love those. And I had one myself. And so I share that in the book. I've had a couple of those times, as a matter of fact, that I could have left, but I decided to stay and stick it out. And I'm so glad that I did, because some amazing things happened after that. So I'm not just talking theory. I'm speaking from experience, my own, as well as the people that I've coached and the way that they have turned things around. So I'm really excited because I don't know how many women are in this boat. I don't have a count of that. I could go by personality types, you know, out there in the world and, you know, people that are at, let's say, senior manager or mid-level manager and above in organizations. But, you know, this could be somebody who's an entrepreneur. It could be someone who is just starting out in their career as an engineer, and the team that they're on is resisting them. So it's really hard to get after, like, how many women are we talking about would have experienced this? But whatever that number is, I hope some of them get a hold of my book when it comes out. It should be this summer.
All right. Well, fantastic. Delisha, I got to thank you for coming on and sharing this information, because it is something that I think is unique and refreshing, that the way that you present it, and you know, it's very much, you're very good at addressing and explaining that, you know, both the emotional and the illogical parts of this, and it really is kind of a very odd mixture of those two. So you know, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me, Jack. I really appreciate it. It's been great speaking with you today.
Well, it's been great talking to you. And before you go, I have to ask, how can people find out more about Delisha Coppersmith and get involved in what you're doing?
Well, the quickest way, and I've got some free resources on my site, so maybe, you know, snagging an article or two would be good. I've got a bit of a redesign going on, so I'm trying to populate some videos on there as well. But if you can manage to spell my name, good luck with that. It's DelishaCoppersmith.com. I don't know if you'll have it in the show notes, Jack.
But, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so it'll be in the show notes. But also, if it's easier to remember, the name of our retreats, it would probably be easier, and that's revivingathena.com. It will take you to the same site, revivingathena.com.
All right, beautiful. Alicia, again, thank you for coming on, folks. If you know, if you are in the situation or you are witnessing these types of situations at the workplace, I highly encourage you to check out Delisha Coppersmith. Again, we'll have those links right there on the show post. And until next time on Influencers Radio, remember, you are the only real game changer.
You've been listening to Influencers Radio. To get all past shows and updates on future shows, visit influencersradio.com today.